Hi, all. Thanks for tuning back into the Why You Know Doctor podcast. My name is Dominic Zai, and I'm the host of the show. My guest today is Zach Benson. He started off as a dancer, appearing on shows like So You Think You Can Dance, but after an injury, he later transitioned into becoming a very successful entrepreneur, founding the social media management agency Assistagram. Today, he travels the world, gives numerous talks, and works with clients globally. I had a great conversation with him to learn more about his lifestyle, a little bit about his personal life as a Korean adoptee who ended up traveling to Korea and finding his birth mother, as well as managing a business and a lot more. I hope you really enjoy the episode. And without further ado, here is Zach. Of course, thanks for hopping on the podcast. I can't remember. I think we found you off of like a post from Asian Hustle Network or something, right?
Yeah, the Asian Hustle Network. Yeah, man. So it's cool. Thanks for the time. Excited to be here.
Yeah, were you just like kind of like sharing your story a bit on that group? Have you been part of it for a long time? It's a nice community.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think I was invited by a friend a year ago, and then I just never got around to like introducing myself. I saw like all of these intros and people like posting up these pictures and telling their story. So I thought I might as well do mine, and just posted one up and got pretty good engagement. And then had, you know, several people reach out to me and wanting to connect, do business, and couple of clients came out of it, and also this awesome podcast. So yeah, good. Excited to be here with you and chat today.
It's a really nice community. I mean, I feel like a lot of Asian Americans or people that grew up in, you know, they're Asian in like a Western place. I feel like in the last few years, there's just been a lot more people that are interested in connecting and being part of like, you know, just like a community. Because I know like Subtle Asian Traits came out of nowhere, and that group, you know about that group, that Facebook group?
Yeah, heard of it? Just the no,
it's kind of like Asian Hustle Network, but it was before it. And Subtle Asian Traits reached like, I think they're one of the fastest Facebook groups to ever reach 1 million people, and it was like super engaged. Like everyone was like, it wasn't just Asian Americans, but it was like Asian Australians, Asian Canadians, Asian, like whatever, you know, but it was really cool because the whole group was just a giant meme group that they posted like relatable memes if you like grew up in like an Asian household, which, which is pretty cool. You know, like, there was a lot of interest in it.
Yeah. That's cool. It's all about the community, you know, like, people that can support you, be there for encouragement, and know what you're going through. So,
So what do you do today, or what's the best way to describe, like, how would you describe yourself these days?
Yeah. So, I mean, these days, I would describe myself as more like a luxury travel connoisseur / Instagram growth hacker, social media growth hacker. So people come to me now when they want to get seen, known, heard everywhere online. So we help them launch their like their book. If they want to go on a podcast tour and get a bunch of book sales, they come to us. We get them paired up with people to promote their book and help them dominate social media. So that's really what we're known for, is just social media domination. That's what people come to us for, and then personal branding and company branding. So that's what I do.
That's how
now.
You spend most of your time these days. Or are you just traveling a lot too?
Right. Yeah. So normally I'm always traveling. It's another country, another culture every single week is how I like to do it. And it's I wouldn't say it's like my style. Like I don't love to do it, but I like to do it because I like people and I like to learn about other cultures, and I like to network and grow my business. And I found out that through traveling and masterminding and networking and going to these events, that's how I've been able to grow my business so fast, is by being everywhere. Because once people see that you're everywhere, they're like, okay, Zach, he is everywhere and he works with everyone. And so I need to work with them too. And so I spent the past 2 years just investing heavily into travel and mastermind events and groups to just grow myself and grow my business. But before all of this, I was a breakdancer from Iowa. And even before that, like I was born in Korea. I was adopted, grew up in Iowa, right? And was a kid that didn't talk a lot because I had a speech impediment. And I couldn't say the letter R until I was well into my 20s. And, you know, so growing up for me, and life was hard for me growing up in Iowa. So until I found dance, and dance kind of changed my life and gave me confidence and boosted my self-esteem. And it was something I finally was good at and I was passionate about. And I just went all in and basically took dancing from a hobby, being a hobby, to monetizing it, making a six-figure income for myself, just teaching dance workshops around the Midwest and the world.
That's cool.
And yeah, man, that's part of my story. So huge passion for teaching and helping.
So is that how you first got into like entrepreneurship? Is like through dance, you're like, how do I make money from this? Or have you always been quite entrepreneurial?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that's my first thing. Like my first big thing was dancing and figuring out a way to monetize that, because like I always had this travel bug, this desire to travel the world and see the world, because it's so beautiful. And it's just like, I wanted to explore it, but I was like, okay, that stuff costs money, right? Flights, hotels, food, like it's travel is expensive. So how can I figure out and use my career to get that stuff for free, or to get other people to pay that stuff for me? And that's why I chose dance. I'm like, well, everybody think breakdance is cool and hip hop is cool. Like, why don't I just teach it to like mom and pop studios, like around the world that just have recreational dancers, kids that are just doing it for fun. I go there, teach them something new and, you know, make a living out of it. And so that was like my first start with entrepreneurship. And, you know, sky's the limit, because like once you like get on a famous TV show and you leverage that. And so I was on So You Think You Can Dance for a couple of episodes. And so when I approached studios, I was like, you know, I was a former participant on So You Think You Can Dance. I've worked with these crews, all these people. It was a lot easier for me to get my foot in the door.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And you just taught yourself how to dance? Like, did you have like a natural, you must have had some natural talent, obviously. Like, I don't think anyone just teaches themselves, you know?
Yeah. So dancing, like in all things in life, there's some people that just pick up choreography very quick. They see somebody dance and move and they can follow their footsteps and repeat and duplicate it. I'm more of a freestyler, right? So I'm more of creative and like to just create my own movements and my own choreography and dances. But yeah, I was always like physically talented and gifted, like always won the presidential fitness award, like growing up in like middle school, high school. I'd always break like school records, like for the mile run or the pull-ups.
Oh yeah, that's so crazy.
I was, yeah, back in the day in very good shape, right? When I was doing all this stuff. And so,
I mean, you grew up in the Midwest too. I just feel like there's not that many other like Asian people, and you're adopted, right? So it's like,
right.
I mean, you were kind of because I always felt like, because I grew up in Wisconsin, so I grew up in the Midwest too.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, I feel like my interactions with Asian people was like, Asian people weren't like athletic. So I was like, cause, you know, because it's like all you see on TV. I don't see any like pro athletes back then besides like Yao Ming that was like an athlete, you know?
Right, so I feel
that was actually probably pretty rare for, you know, I think we're probably close to the same age. It's probably not that many other like really well-known Asian athletes at that time that like just Asian people known for being athletic.
Exactly. Right. And I mean, like, yeah, like you said, I grew up in Iowa, man, like the whitest place ever. So like, I didn't have my first like Korean food or kimchi until I went to Korea and found my birth mom. So yeah. That was like life for me. But there's a couple of other Asian kids in my school, and they were breakdancing and they were doing cool stuff. So I was like, I want to be like them. I want to live up to my Asianness, be cool like these kids. And I don't know. So that's cool. How I got into it. It was just through a DVD and friends.
Did you like intentionally try to like befriend some of like Asian people? Like who were your friends growing up? Were they Asian people or are they like, you know, white or whatever?
Yeah, I mean,
All over.
because like for real, like where I grew up, like in the suburbs of Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, there's only like white people and some Bosnian, like European people. And so all of my friends were just white, because I was pretty much the only Asian kid at my school. There's maybe one other person. So all of my friends were just, like white people. And that was elementary, middle school, and high school, and even college, because I went to a small private school, 50 miles like northeast of Des Moines, the capital of Iowa, and there's only like 800 people there at the
Got
school,
it.
so a very small college. I didn't start to meet, other people, like more people from different backgrounds and ethnicities, until I studied abroad in Spain. 2006, I studied once in Spain, and then did a semester there, and then I did another semester in Mexico, and that's when I started to, like, I guess I caught the travel bug and meet people from all over the world, other Koreans and other Latinos and, like all these different kinds of people study abroad from all different parts of the world. And that's when it really opened my eyes. And I'm like, I love this. Like, I love meeting, I love cultures. I want to keep traveling.
Yeah, and at some point you ultimately from some of our past conversations you or just even what you just said, you at some point went to Korea, and was the first time you went to go search for your birth mom, or had you been there before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like when I was a senior in school, college, I made a 5-year plan. So I was like, first year, I want to give back, because my parents, they've supported me so well and taken care of me, and they paid for my college. So I'm like, I want to go live on $2 a day for food. I want to do over 1,000 hours of community service and help refugees find jobs and homes for a year. So I volunteered with the nonprofit called World Relief, a resettlement agency for refugees, and just, did everything, man. Set up their apartments, like put furniture in their apartments, took them to appointments, took them to their grocery store, and also taught them English. And so after that experience, I was like, I want to go back to Korea, because I met this North Korean refugee. She was like, go back to Korea. You should learn more about your roots and your motherland, your culture. And so I taught English there for a year, and I worked in a private hagwon, like a private after-school program, from 4 to 10 p.m. And during the day, I'd work out. I'd also try to search for my birth mom, and it took about a year. And towards the end of the year, my contract, we still hadn't found her yet, and so I was about to give up and just go home. And that following week, they actually got word from my mom saying that she wanted to meet me. They found her and she wants to meet me. And so I, went up to Seoul. At that time, I was in Busan. I went up to Seoul and I met her that next day. And it was cool. It was
It's
life-changing,
crazy. How old
like
were you
a
back
dream
then? Like
come true.
20
I
or
was,
something?
yeah, it's just straight up, like 23. So
Got it.
I was 23 years old, and the whole experience was cool. Like, I got there, I was like, aren't you gonna prepare me? Like, what do I say to my mom? They're just like, oh, just go in, she's waiting with a friend. And I went in, opened the door, she ran up to me, she gave me a hug, she's like, I love you, like, I love you, son. And we just hugged, man. And it was great, but also weird, because I'm an Iowa boy. I don't speak any Korean. She didn't speak any English, so we had a translator that we had to use,
It's crazy.
and that kind of made things hard and awkward. But I felt her love through her actions, right? She would, after that, she would, come over and make some delicious Korean food, some
Yeah.
bulgogi, and cook me all this food, and then she'd take care of me. She introduced me to her family and
It's amazing.
sisters, brothers. Yeah.
So now your home base is in Korea, or I mean, you travel a lot, but
Yeah.
would you consider like you had considered Korea kind of your home base? I know that at some
Yeah.
point you said that you were like staying at your mom's place or something.
So I call it like Korea and I mean Iowa home. And norm yeah, like when I'm traveling, it's like hotels. I stay in a lot of hotels. But for this most recent trip, I quarantined in my mom's house because she can take care of me. And also, like, I don't want to be in a government facility where I'm like locked up and can't do anything. And so I chose to quarantine at my mom's house, and then I have more freedom. And it's
Cool,
fun.
man.
It's fun to spend time with family and see my brother and the sister.
Yeah, your Korean getting good enough to like understand a bit, or is there English getting better, or how do you communicate?
Yeah, my brother speaks some, my brother and bro and sis speak a little bit of English. I speak a little bit of Korean, but I would say that, to be honest, it's not that good because I was a bad student, you know, and I didn't do my homework. Like when I took a month of Korean classes, I was just like out, you know, doing entrepreneurial stuff or, you know, partying and hanging out. Like it was hard for me to do all of my homework. And so that was my fault, but it's okay. But I'd like for it to get better. And now I'm more serious. I have my girlfriend here and everything, and business and clients here. I think it's time to get serious about Korean language.
Yeah, that makes sense. So just to recap, kind of backing up. So essentially, out of school, you went to you did some did a bunch of volunteering. You went back to Korea, searched for your birth mom. When did you start to like get into obviously you probably needed a source of income to stay or to travel, right? So it's like, was that the time where you started to try to find like new ideas for like entrepreneurship? Was there something that specifically you wanted to go into? Or did you always even know that you wanted to do your own business?
So what a lot of people don't know is like all the behind the scenes stuff, the things that I did to learn to be able to do the things that I do now, right? So right after I graduated, I did that volunteer experience because I wanted to learn how to live on less so others could have more. I wanted to just learn how to see people as people and treat everyone as an important human being. So I made a lot of like homeless friends and people from all over the world, from all, you know, refugees and walks of life. So it taught me a lot about people. The next thing was, you know, Korean culture. And then after my Korean experience, I used my college major because my parents were like, when are you actually going to come home and like use your degree?
What did you
And
study
so
again, by the way?
I studied Spanish
Oh,
and
okay. Got it.
exercise
Study abroad.
science. So,
Okay. That makes sense. You study abroad in Spanish speaking countries and then your athletics. So, right.
right. So I failed my personal training certification test three times, and then I finally passed. And then I became a personal trainer for a year because I was into fitness and dancing, and it was a good combo. And then my boss called me in one day because at that time I was still pursuing my dance career. And he's like, you got to choose one. Do you want to be out teaching dance and missing work, or do you want to be at the gym training clients? Like, you got to choose one. And I was like, you're not gonna fire me because like I'm the top trainer, right? I'm bringing you tons of money. And that next day he called me in and he's like, I was serious and I'm sorry, but I have to let you go. And so I got fired. And my mom was like, what are you gonna do now? Like, we just paid all this money for you to go to college and you know, been traveling the world, and then you couldn't even hold a job for a year. Like, go get a job. And so I, listened to my mom. I got a job at the YMCA,
Oh,
the Y.
nice. I worked at the
And,
Y, not as a
you know, it
trainer.
was,
Well, I worked at the
you
Y
know,
though for 2 years.
right. And then I was just like, man, this is cool, but this is really not what I want to do. I want to be out traveling and teaching dance. And so then I quit that. I took that leap of faith and just pursued my dance career. And that's when I did the So You Think You Can Dance audition. And even through all of that, I just want people to know, like, I wasn't just like a successful break dancer overnight. Like, I put in a lot of hours, I put in a lot of time, I wasted a lot of money trying to like build my brand, right? Some things worked, some things didn't. Some people said yes, some people said no, like, but I never gave up, and I did that for a few years, and then I ended up moving back to Korea, working at an international boarding school as an RA, like a residential advisor, and helped took care. It was like a big brother to high school students from all over the world, and they'd
How old
hang
were
out
you
in
at
the
that
dorm.
point, by the
I
way?
was 25.
Got it. Okay.
And I did that from 25 to 28. And as I was doing that, that's when my other business, my business that I do now, that's I was building and creating the ideas and the systems and the strategies to launch that. But I never just went straight out like I'm gonna start an Instagram social media growth agency. It was like I was doing something full time and on the side working on this business side hustle.
Got it. Was that like just like nights and weekends, or did you have other time?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much like I would, my schedule was, in the mornings, afternoons, I was free. I started work at 3:30. So from, 8 a.m. On to about 3, I'd be working on my business and just trying to create strategies and learn as much as I could about Instagram. And then at nighttime, afternoon to nighttime to 11 p.m., 3 to 11 p.m., I was working in the dormitory. So I did that for about 3 years. And then I was like, okay, now it's like big enough. I feel confident enough to like.
And like you feel like you have probably enough experience and skill, right, to like not just be like,
Yeah.
you're probably building that confidence, right? Because I mean, obviously, like people can fake it till they make it, but it helps a lot if you kind of know what you're doing, know what you're talking about,
Right, exactly. So I felt like it was very knowledgeable now, confidence. I got some clients under my belt. I'm gonna quit my RA job and to do this full time. And yeah, I've been at it ever since. So it's only been like 4 years.
Yeah, but 4 years goes by fast, and also, I mean, I guess you had to put in a lot of work up front, and I think that's what people don't realize is like, when you're talking about like dancing or even like starting a business, is a lot of people, well, especially when it comes to like entertainment, people think that someone is like an overnight success or something. But and I know, like, because I worked as an actor for a long time, and a lot of times people are like, yeah, that actor just got that like role and they like overnight became so like famous. But it's like the truth of the matter is that like they've spent like 10 years of their life like getting rejected, like trying so hard to like training and stuff, and like finally you get like the one like break. Many actors never get it in the entertainment space.
Yeah, exactly. So still a long ways to go, but I'm always learning, always trying to grow every single day, still a lot of work to be done.
How did you set a plan to learn about, social media marketing, about Instagram? Like, did you have courses, or were you kind of just going on YouTube, and like, what was the
Yeah.
approach?
I've done everything. I mean, one of my mentors was like, you got to learn just like everything that you can about it and go all in with it. And so how I started though was in 2014, 15, I bought 10% of a 400,000 follower Instagram account from my friend. And so he was like buying all of these big pages that had millions of followers on them. And he's like, you got to get in on this. Like me and my brother were making a lot of money just selling shout outs and growing people's accounts, thousands of followers per day. Like this is a gold mine. Like you got to get in on this. And so I invested some money, owned a big part of a big account that had 400,000 followers on it. I kind of got my feet wet. And then from there, I just started taking courses and paying people for power hours and paying kids like that had millions of followers. I would like, teach me your strategies and secrets. So I'll pay
Oh,
you
it's really
money. And
smart.
yeah, just I approached the best and I worked with the best because I paid them for their
Yeah.
time.
So you took some risk
And
too. Like you put some skin in the game, not just like sweat equity, but like, you put some money that bought some stuff and paid for consulting.
right, because at that time in my life, I was only making like $2,000 in a month, at my RA job, right? And so with everything, I didn't have a lot of money, but I wanted to use that money to grow my knowledge.
Well, plus you knew how to live frugally because you learned how to live on $2 a day. So that helps.
Right, man. I mean, we were eating just pasta, eggs. Like we'd eat, like approach bakeries and say, can we have your old like bread that, you know, still good, but they're just going to toss out, and we got creative.
It's really cool. It's really cool, man. It's a good journey. So it's 4 years in. So you said today, like, you know, kind of where are you still want to expand the business? Is that the goal? Obviously it's part of your work, right? But also, I mean, you mentioned that you're traveling a lot, and you said like one of the reasons is for like lead generation still, like you're still getting clients, right? So is that a big reason or like kind of like the business is kind of on autopilot now or what? What do you want to do?
Yeah. So now we have a very successful agency. Multiple seven-figure Instagram growth agency. But now we're turning it into more of like a branding PR agency. So we focus on building people's social profiles, getting them more social presence, because when you have that, it's easier to run ads and scale offers because people know about you. They've heard you. They've seen you on podcasts. They've seen you on TV. There's more trust. People buy from people they trust.
Social proof.
And so we're still growing that. It's growing. It's doing well. But what I'm focused on personally now is, just doing more masterminds, speaking at more masterminds. And I've also created my own. So Maldives Mastermind is coming soon. So I'm going to be hosting an event, a small like hangout in February over Valentine's Day. So 11th through 16th. We'll be out there, overwater villas, bungalows, masterminding, networking, partying, hanging out. And
so let me ask you a quick question for the people that don't know what a mastermind is, because that's almost kind of like, I know what it is because it's kind of like an industry thing, you know, if you're in marketing or entrepreneurship, but how do you explain, like, what is a mastermind?
Yeah, so I would describe mastermind is like, think of it as just like, talking like the good, bad, ugly about your business to a group of other fellow entrepreneurs, business owners, and kind of each person goes and, you know, sits in the hot seat, and basically other people give you advice and ideas and strategies to help your business thrive and grow better. So it's pretty much a group, a community of people that you can bounce ideas off of, give you fresh new ideas, and give you a fresh network to help your business go to the next level. Because it's not always about like who you know, it's about the people that know you and that know your business and then that give you advice. And so that's what a mastermind is just thinking of ways to help you grow.
Very cool.
plain and simple. And so I'm excited about that. I really love teaching and traveling. So I want to, you know, combine both and bring other speakers and teachers out and just create epic memories with people.
How big are the masterminds? Like how many people attend?
Yeah. So we have like hangouts where hangouts are just like hang out with me, like on a trip. And so that's more like a one-on-one, like I would call it like semi-private coaching, where it's between one to, you know, maybe three, four people at max. And then we have like, you know, different tiers. So we have more of like a traditional like type retreat where it's between 20 to 30 people. I like to keep them a little bit more private and smaller just so that you can get closer, you know, a little bit more like intimate and get to know people better. But yeah, that's what I'm focused on, just growing those two things, really, the agency and the mastermind business.
Yeah, the masterminds are really cool. I always wish that there was one that a few years ago I was thinking it'd be awesome if there's just like a mastermind of like just like Asian American like entrepreneurs or something. Because I've done these like cool ones. Yeah, like I've done a few where they're not masterminds, just like for my personal company. You know, we'll do like team retreats or we'll go to conferences together. And then we'll hang out, we'll book like, you know, Airbnbs and like all in like a similar place and we'll go hang out, just do whatever, go skiing. Like we've been all over the world. And those are always great because it's like really fun. You get to hang out. But obviously that's only for my company, right? So, But like I was always thinking, like, it'd be nice to have some of these retreats where you just get to hang out with people that are like-minded from all over the world working on their businesses. And a cool spin on it is like, you know, the Asian American aspect, because I know so many Asian American entrepreneurs that I never even knew like there were so many. Like until I started doing the podcast, like as like, the people on the podcast, it's like, oh, they're all doing everything. It's like even like just like products that, you know, like there's a Eugene, this guy, he's the founder of like a Country Archer Jerky, I believe is the name. And they're like huge. I mean, like they, I don't know how much revenue they do, but they do like probably 50 million or more in revenue. They're in every single store. I'm like, it's crazy. He's like a 30-year-old like Asian American dude that like dropped out of college, you know, it's like,
yeah, yeah.
And then another guy that I can think of, like Johnny, he's like sold multiple companies, like has like 100% agency. So it's just crazy because it's like I never knew these things, and I think it'd be cool to like learn from kind of their experiences.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, so that's always been something that that I've thought a lot about. I think there's a Gold House Collective, Bing Chen and Gold House Collective, they kind of do something. I think sometimes I don't know if they really do any mass. I think they're too big. I think they're too broad. It's like because they have like the CEO of like Google, like part of like Gold House Collective, you know, it's like, so I think it's a little bit different audience, but yeah, some stuff like that I think would be cool at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Should make that happen.
Yeah, I know. Maybe next step. I don't know. At some point I would love to make that happen. But you know, as you know, it's probably a lot of work to organize something. It's probably not that hard, I assume. You just kind of need to get like just find a location. I don't know, you would know better, but
yeah, I mean there's just like different levels, right? Like it can be more organized and like more like, hey, this is like what's happening, this is when we start, like you got to be here and there at this time, and a lot of content sessions. It just really depends on like your overall vision, but I like to keep things simple just super simple, like, hey, we're going to hang out. It's going to be some content. We'll have some live speakers. We'll have some virtual speakers because people are in the Maldives, right? And it takes them 20 hours to get there. Like they don't want to be stuck in a little boardroom the whole week.
Yeah, you know, they won't go hang out, go to the beach.
Right. So it's more about the experiences and the fun.
Yeah, I think it's just making new friends. I think that's a big part of it. Also making new friends with like-minded people, like curating a group of people that are like-minded that have different things to share. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So that's okay. So I guess that's what, so are you doing, you said you're doing a mastermind in 2 months from now. Like how do people, by the way, is that like open to the, like who's that open to? Like if people wanted to ever do one with you?
Yeah. So I do, like I've been doing some light promotion marketing just through my Facebook and like Instagram stories, where I show video clips and creatives of like where, like the hotel and just everything. And I'm like, you know, T-minus 7 weeks, Maldives Mastermind, DM for more details. Cool. And then once they DM me, they send me a message, we send them an application form. So it's
got about trying to find the right people.
Eight questions. Yeah. So we vet them out, find it's all about the vibes and right people and the energy and just, that matters, you know? So not anybody can come in, but once they've their applications approved, then we hop on a call with them and dive a little bit deeper and then see what value they can contribute to the mastermind. And what do they want to get out of it? Because if that's not aligned, then it might not be a good fit. And then they just sign up. They, you know, they go through the landing page sign. Yeah.
Nice, man.
So,
later I'll have to get some of those details in case anyone listening is curious to reach out. I was actually going to say, this reminded me. So I know a friend of a friend, his name's Noah Kagan. So he owns a few. He's a digital marketing guy. And the thing that he always does, which I was kind of thinking is really cool if I could bring it to like an Asian community, is that he's Jewish. And, you know, Jewish people, they do like their like Shabbat dinners, I believe it's called, where it's like he'll be with a bunch of other founders, like let's say like Tim Ferriss or like a bunch of other people come, they'll all have dinner. And what they do is like they're just like share kind of the struggles that they're having, whether it's in personal life, whether it's in business, whatever. And, but you have a bunch of other people that are like kind of like minded, but different, you know? And I always thought that's a really cool thing that the Jewish like community does. And I just kind of feel like there's like, that's a kind of like a lacking thing that, you know, specifically for like the Asian American community is kind of lacking.
Yeah. I think anytime you can bring people together and have round table dinners and conversation, I mean, it's a good thing. And there needs to be more of it.
Yeah, exactly. And frankly, it's like, it doesn't even matter if it's like Asian American, obviously. I grew up in Wisconsin. Like all my friends are like, most of my friends are not Asian, but I just, you know, you want to start somewhere that's like, that has like a niche, because sometimes you share some similar experiences, right? So it's easier to make a little more specific. Do you ever, when you're traveling, like you're going week to week to like different places, you ever get a little tired of it, burnt out? Sometimes. I mean, how can you focus and work? I feel like that's a lot of travel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is work, because usually when I speak, sometimes they're paid, and then we do offers. So we sell from, we you know, we speak to serve and then also to sell, right? Because we have different packages and bundles people can sign up for. So that's part of my business and lead generation and how we get clients. But then also, it does get tiring and exhausting to do like Maldives and then maybe a couple of days later, Vegas, and then Vegas to Korea, and then Korea back to the
States. Yeah, that's a lot. Right?
Yeah, it's been a lot, but it's, I would say one of the biggest factors to like our success is because I was like everywhere, and you know, like it was crazy, but it was worth it. And I mean, right now, as I'm just trying to continue to build and grow, it's something that is something that I have to do.
It has to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it has to happen, because there's just something special about live events when they actually happen that you can't get like virtually, when you're like physically there with people, creating memories and having one-on-ones and sit downs that are special. And but yeah, it's just, I know it's part of the game, part of the process, something I got to do. So, yeah, I mean, I prefer, my style of travel is just to like hang out somewhere for like maybe a couple of months, like actually get to know the place and get to know the local culture and people. Like I much prefer that than bouncing around all the time.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Cause like if you're somewhere for a week, it's like you barely are just like getting accustomed to like the time zone, like the environment, like where is the pharmacy, where's like the grocery store, where do I get food, like, you know, it's like time to leave. At least that's been my personal experience. And obviously I care a lot about like fitness and like working out, like that's a big habit that I have, and it's like kind of hard to do that sometimes, and you're just like bouncing around.
That's the thing. Yeah exactly. It's been difficult, but I just try to do the small little things every single day, and sometimes I'm good at it. I'd have to say for the past couple of years, honestly, I put on some weight because you know, you're whining and dining and you're traveling and people want to take you out, and then it's like the jet lag and like you said, the discipline and just the focus, right? Because your time zones and mental clock is all whacked out. But now I'm just trying to make it a thing where it's like I'm trying to be more conscious and aware of what I eat and what I do, and make sure that I hit the gym at least once a day. So it's slowly getting better. But I agree, it's hard.
How do you figure out your like time management, like, because you know, if you're running a business and also you're networking, you're traveling, is that difficult? Like, do you have to be pretty disciplined? Or
I mean, I have like some people that just do have specific roles, and that's all they do, right? So the sales team, the accounting team, the operations, the creation, you know, like we have a pretty solid team now. So I spend most of my time just doing like a weekly check-in call with, you know, some key members of my company and team. and they handle pretty much everything else. I am taking like high level referral calls if somebody who's a client and they direct me refer me to like their best friend. Like I'm gonna take that just out of love and respect for them because I want to keep that connection and that flow. But most of my time is spent doing the podcasts or shows or things like that to just kind of grow the business.
It's almost like, so those type of things, like I think if they call it like evangelism or just like stuff that like is promoting, whether it's yourself or the agency or
Yeah,
is that,
exactly. Like
yeah.
the podcast, the live streams, events, and partnerships. That's really like what I'm focused on and what I like to do. But yeah, sometimes, there's some things that come up and you have to take care of it and jump in. And I'm used to waking up pretty early. So like, even though I'm in Korea, like right now, yeah, I've been waking up usually at like 6:30 every day. Sometimes doing the calls and then working out and then breakfast and then going on with the day. But because of time zone differences, from the States, I normally take calls early in the morning and then at night, evening time.
Yeah, even like evening time can be hard because like 10 p.m. Korea times 10 a.m. New York, right?
Yeah.
7 a.m. Pacific. Because I was in Seoul like last year, and I was up until 5 in the morning. Like literally every day I was awake until 5, just like having call, and that would be like maybe like I don't know, like midday Pacific time. Maybe early afternoon Pacific time, you know.
Yeah. So normally what I do is I try to like meet in the middle. Like I always say, do you have a calendar scheduling link so that I can book at a time convenient for you? And then if they don't, I'm like, well, here's my scheduling link. And I try to set it for like between 7 a.m. and then 10 p.m. is like my range. And then I say, if you can't find any times there, then I'm 17 hours ahead of you. So let me know some days and times that work for you. So it usually works out so that they just book in the morning time, which is what I prefer. But yeah, it just depends. You gotta, as an entrepreneur, you gotta make sacrifices, wake up early, stay up late. So it's part of the game.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. I'm trying to remove myself as much as possible from like I'm trying to make a goal. And for anyone that like is thinking about starting an agency, it's like, it's like I think one of the biggest goals when I talk to many agency owners, it's like it's about figuring out how to like really remove yourself as much as possible from like all the calls, from all the day-to-days. Because if you don't like actively pursue that, at least what I've found is like then you're constantly just sucked into everything. Like then you're helping a little bit with ops, you're helping a little bit with sales, helping a little bit with account management. So it's like for me personally, like this year, and I've been saying this for a while, but this year for sure, it's like I've been really thinking about like if I just like disappear for a month, I need the business to operate super smoothly without me. So then if I pass the 1 month test where I literally don't have to do anything, if I literally if I just want to go drink and eat Korean barbecue every day for a month. And it's
Yes.
like the reply to no emails or calls, like I want the business to like still flourish and grow. And I think that's really my personal like target.
Yeah,
Because it's
that's a
hard, you know,
good
because I want
goal.
to be in Korea for a bit. I want to be in the Asian time zone. And it's like, but doing sales calls and sometimes like I'm used to it because I lived in China for a few years too when the business is growing, a little bit early stages. And I was remember doing like sales call, and those at that time sales calls really mattered a lot because like we were a startup, you know. So I was like, I need this like deal, like this is an important deal, you know, it's a lot of money. So I'd be like, I have all this adrenaline and stuff, and be like 3 in the morning Beijing time, and it's like hard to sleep after that. But yeah, it's pretty stressful. Some of the entrepreneurial things you gotta do.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I think eventually you get to that, we'll get to the stages, right? And then it's like we have multiple businesses like that,
Yeah.
like pretty much all run by themselves.
Yeah, I think that's the goal, right? Is to have as much, I think it's, yeah, I'm curious what you think about it too, but it's like, I think it's like having the balance of like passive income, but also having like providing value and deriving meaning. I have a lot of friends that like, they have like e-commerce businesses or whatever, and they make a ton of money, but then it's like, I think they're kind of bored,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Got to keep doing something, keep growing and starting something fresh and new. Because it's
Yeah.
easy to just go, like, I think on autopilot and cruise control, right? Where you could be doing good and life could be awesome and fun. But like you said, boring. It's like you need that
Yeah.
something to challenge you.
Yeah. Do you have a personal mission statement that kind of you like kind of adhere to when you're doing business and when you're approaching kind of your personal life?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just to my personal mission statement is to travel and do the things that I love while at the same time take care of the people I love and I care about the most. And so I always try to be there for people, for support, love, encouragement, prayer, like everything, right? So I like even while I'm traveling, I want to make sure that I'm also approachable and available to the people that matter most to me. And just important things to me is, the honesty, like transparency, integrity, and respect, right? Like, I just want to make sure that when people say something, they're going to do it. And it'll be pretty much how they said that it'll happen. And to keep those small promises and commitments is important to me. So that's kind of my, I guess, principle slash mission statement.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I mean, like many people don't really even have one, so, and I think I can tell that yours is pretty thought out.
Yeah.
Just a few last questions. We don't have a ton of time. It went by pretty fast,
Yeah.
but just for you, like, what's one of the most important things that you've learned, just being an entrepreneur over the last like however long you've been doing this for? Is there like one significant piece of feedback or lesson learned?
Yeah, it's really like the reputation is what others like think you are, and character is what you are. That's a quote by General Lucian Truscott, who's like 5-star general. I like that a lot because it's really like you have to think, how do you want to be talked about? Like, what kind of impression do you want to leave for people? Like, the vibes, the energy. Like, what do you want them to say about you when you're not around? Right? Like, that's very important. So you want to have like a reputation that's like, okay, integrity, trust. Like, he's action taker. He's making moves. He's like getting things done. Like, top quality service, top quality products, and top quality human being. And so you want to, like, when you're building your business, you want to keep that in mind that reputation is really what people think you are, right? And that could be good or bad. And good or bad, that stuff spreads. And that's how a lot of people start their businesses and grow their businesses is through word of mouth and referral. And so that is very important. And I would just say that I think I've burnt some bridges or I've cut people out of my life for different reasons, and some of them very silly reasons and stupid reasons that I regret. And I wish that I could go back and be more mature about it and be the bigger man or just handle it in a better way. And so always just, yeah, I think keep those things in mind. That's the thing that I'm learning is like, okay, what do I really want people to say about me when I'm not around, right? Like, if I just like am an invisible man and put on this invisible cloak and I walk around to these different groups and my name comes up in conversation and I'm listening in, I want to make sure that, like, these things are like said about me, right? I don't want him to be like
Yeah,
saying,
for
oh,
sure.
like he's, you know what I mean? So I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned, one of the biggest things. And yeah, just again, the service, top quality service, like going above and beyond to make sure that your client's needs are being met and
Yeah,
met
I like
well,
that.
and calling to check in on them, because after they pay you a bunch of money, then it's like, you know, they should hear from you. Like, you know, it shouldn't be like a year that they don't hear from you. Like, you know,
Yeah, that's a
call
great
in and
point.
surprise them, send them gifts, send them a note, tell them
Yeah.
how much you appreciate them.
Yeah, I really like that advice. Cool, man. You know, the time flew by pretty fast. So I just wanted to ask,
Yeah.
for people that want to either apply to the mastermind or follow your content or learn more about you,
Yeah.
what's the best way?
Yeah. So you guys can go to our website, zachbenson.life. That's the website for all of the masterminds and retreats. And that's, yeah, we're going to be putting up a new page there about specifically for the mastermind events. But that's my personal website. My company website is assistagram.com. And yeah, happy to work with you. Happy to chat and connect with you guys. And then on social, Zach Vacay, Instagram. So yeah, feel free to reach out. We'd love to connect with you guys, talk to you guys, hear your story, figure out ways that we can support and help each other. So
Cool. No, this is awesome.
yeah.
Nice website, by the way. It's
Yeah.
cool. Well, no, it was great having you on the podcast, and hope to
Yeah.
actually get to see you sometime in person. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please feel free to email Dominic at whyyouknowdoctor.com. Until next time.